Welcome to The Medium, a podcast presented by Tommy Media that's all about what's happening in the art and entertainment world. On today's show, we talk about the various genres of horror movies and discuss our favorites for the Halloween season. All right. Well, guys, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
So we kind of decided to do a special Halloween episode.
That's right.
Both me and Maddie here really enjoy the horror genre. And I think there's a lot to delve into with this specific genre. And it seemed obviously appropriate for the spooky season. By the time this podcast comes out, it should be exactly
Halloween. So happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween. If you're listening to this a few days after Halloween, you should be keeping up with us. I mean, come on, guys.
It's still kind of spooky season a couple days later, so we'll give you that. But
Halloween, yeah, it has a nice little margin of error. I love it.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Well, today, so we're going to specifically look at the horror genre and the subgenres within that genre. And you're like, hey, Reed, what do you mean by subgenres? Well,
Let me tell you.
We wanted to break down the genre by different, again, genres within the genre, basically. So an example of this would be how some movies are considered a horror movie, but also a slasher killer movie. A slasher movie would be something considered like Friday the 13th, which is basically one guy going around killing a bunch of people.
As one does
on Halloween. Halloween, the movie, would actually be a great example of this. Another kind of subgenre of horror would be something like the found footage. Now, for those who don't understand the premise from the title, found footage is kind of this fake documentary-style movie that's supposed to be scary. Like, oh, it's imitating real life. An example of this would be the Blair Witch Project, which really brought that subgenre into the mainstream and is why we get a lot of not-so-good found footage movies nowadays. But at the time, the Blair Witch Project was horrifying because it seemed very, very real. And so on and so forth. So I think we want to start today by what we think horror is as a genre. Because a lot of people have different definitions of horror. And I guess that's why there's different subgenres of horror. So Maddie, let's start with you. What do you define horror as? What scares you?
What scares me? Well, I do have to say I've been watching horror movies for as long as I can remember. It was just a thing that my brother, my dad, and I did together. And so, frankly, they don't really scare me anymore. I'm not really a jumpy person, but
you're like numb to it?
Yeah, yeah. I've grown kind of used to it, know what to look for, that sort of thing. But in regards to how I define horror, I made a couple notes because again, there's so many subgenres, and I wanted to think through it. And I think a general idea is that horror movies, no matter the genre, are meant to make the viewer uncomfortable in some fashion. They're supposed to be, maybe they're creepy or maybe they're scary or whatever, but it's just supposed to bring discomfort somehow. So like in relation to gore movies like Saw, that kind of thing, they're uncomfortable because it's like gross. And
you're seeing people
get hurt and that's not good. But then psychological thrillers, that's very mind-bending, or like
you fear
like more abstract
insanity.
Things.
Yeah,
exactly. So, and whether they're character-driven, plot-driven, whatever, I think at its core, they're meant to unsettle us in some fashion.
Right, and I guess it kind of boils down to what the individual fears the most.
Absolutely.
Like for me, gore movies do not, I don't fear those.
No.
I don't know why. I haven't seen a lot of those, but it's just something that doesn't scare me as much. But then more psychological thrillers will unsettle me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I think the mind, I personally view the mind as this really sensitive thing, mm-hmm. and to have that dislodged is horrifying for me.
I would agree with that. I think psychological thrillers and suspense movies a lot of times overlap, but again, with like suspense specifically, that was a bad combination of words. They're really like the way they build up gradually unsettles you, and I prefer that. I like to be creeped out and like uncomfortable leaving a theater or when I'm by myself, like, okay, this is weird. Whereas like gore movies or monster movies, like I can separate that from reality and be like, okay, that was in the movie, it's done, not real. Yeah. But the suspense ones, especially when it is like your mind specifically, that can like play in after you've watched it or days later, you can still be thinking about it. And that I think is scarier than just like, oh no, werewolf, yeah. run.
Oh no, not a werewolf that doesn't exist in the world.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think, yeah, it's so specific towards each person, mm-hmm. Because I know there's some people who prefer movies like The Conjuring, which is a good movie, mm-hmm. The Conjuring, maybe like Insidious, mm-hmm. Sinister, these movies that kind of have that premise where something's going bump in the night and there's a lot of jump scares, mm-hmm. and maybe there's a lot of gore or brutal killings.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of your cut and dry horror, what people view as horror.
Definitely.
And although I like quite a few of those, they don't necessarily scare me because it does seem formulaic.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's formulaic.
Yeah.
So when it comes to what I view as a good horror movie, there is a lot of layers, I guess. So I like something called the slow burn in movies.
I am here for slow burn.
Yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't because it requires patience. a slow burn is a movie whose plot kind of slowly builds up and builds up and builds up until the final 20 minutes, the climax of the movie, takes all that build-up time and it comes crashing down mm-hmm. on the audience. And it's slow burns aren't necessarily restrictive towards the horror genre.
No,
you can be found in any genre. But horror, you really, when utilized correctly, the slow burn is just immensely effective in the horror genre.
I think, too, slow burn movies, horror or not, have to be character-driven rather than plot-driven.
Yep.
Because if it was plot-driven, that would be boring as heck. But if it's character-driven, you're invested in them. And I think that's where sometimes people can be like, what's going on? Because it doesn't seem like anything's going on. But that's because you're just following these people and however that works for them subtly or whatnot. But
yeah.
So I think if you have good characters or well-written characters, then the slow burn is very effective.
You become attached to those characters throughout the majority of the movie. And
right.
At the end, when stuff starts happening to those characters, you feel for those characters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's why it's so effective. Not always easily done either. Some people attempt slow burn movies and it's not as successful.
Right.
I
do have to say, with the whole like jump scare thing, I saw the most recent Annabelle movie this past summer with a friend from high school.
How was that?
I mean, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but it was only jump scares.
Right.
And it was kind of funny. Like, I was enjoying it just on, like, oh, I can appreciate that this is not the best thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't have high expectations. But and I don't think jump scares are inherently a bad thing. I just think if they're overused or, like, they're a cheap way to get people, and I get that. But, like, if there's a slow burn movie and they do have some random jump scare that's well-placed, well-issued within that story, it can be even more effective because you're like, oh, this movie won't have jump scares. And then, boom, they get one.
Yeah.
But if it's a movie that's relying solely on, like, oh, no, loud noise, it's not effective.
It is a cheap trick.
Right, exactly.
Startling the audience is not necessarily scaring them.
Right, right.
And like you said, it can be used correctly, but it needs to be used correctly. And I think a lot of filmmakers nowadays don't.
They're easy to just throw in and be like, oh, this movie's scary.
To exit.
No, it's that, like, jumping from a jump scare is an instinctual thing that doesn't...
It's like a defense mechanism.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't have to imply, like, I'm terrified watching this, but where slow burn or even just other well-written horror movies can scare you are through, like, what's actually happening, not just this thrown-in boo.
Yeah. It's very... It's almost difficult to explain why some of these slow burn movies are as creepy as they are,
mm-hmm.
Or why creating a creepy image or a creepy scene is so much more unsettling or lasts so much longer than a jump scare. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at Maddie just put the timer out.
We're good.
Are you indicating something, Maddie?
No, I'm just saying we shouldn't be here for an hour, but...
Yeah, no.
All right.
We could both sit here for a while and talk about this.
We'll save you all the trouble,
yes.
But...
Yeah, it's... I think... I got off topic now.
I'm so sorry.
A slow burn can be just beautifully unsettling. That's kind of an oxymoron. Beautifully unsettling.
I think it's perfect.
Because it really, in some cases, if you just set a scene or set the camera on an unsettling image,
mm-hmm.
and just leave it there, it really sinks in too.
Yeah.
Just giving the audience time to absorb that image mm-hmm. can be very effective. One off the top of my head is I'm thinking of The Witch, which we'll be discussing a little later. The Witch holds on this one image. Spoilers, but I guess it's like 4 years old now. Spoilers,
yeah,
but in the beginning of the movie, it holds on this image of a witch, and she's like shrouded in darkness, so mm-hmm. you can barely see it. But you know, after examining it for a second or two, what she's doing, and the image becomes more and more unsettling the longer you analyze what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a jump scare to be seen, I think, throughout the entire movie, but primarily in this shot. It's just letting the audience soak up just this horror.
Another example of that is the end of The Conjuring, where they put a quote up from Ed Warren, and then that quote goes away, and it's just focused on the music box, and there's a mirror on the music box, and so you're looking in the mirror, like, is something going to show behind you? Is it going to be in front? Wherever. And it holds just long enough that you're waiting for it, but then nothing happens. But it's effective that nothing happens, because you're already psyching yourself out, thinking something's going to happen, and it holds just barely too long. And then cuts to the credits.
That was a good scene. Yeah. James Wan, the director of Conjuring, is an excellent horror director. He knows when to utilize jump scares, for instance.
Exactly. The Conjuring is very effective, I think. It doesn't rely on them, but it also
uses them sparingly, and also very well.
Yeah.
So I think let's go down. We kind of compiled a list of popular subgenres for the horror, and we'll give some examples and why these movies would fall into that sort of genre. So the first one we put down was suspense. Maddie, how would you I think you were the one who put down suspense.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define suspense?
Yeah, so the couple of ones I have in there that I'm familiar with are throwing it all the way back to Hitchcock with Psycho, and that is kind of suspense, I think, are slow burn in a way, because it is just this slow buildup of, like, this is creepy or this is unsettling, as we've been saying. And then the other example I had in there was The Sixth Sense, and I think that's a pretty well-known, maybe more so than Psycho, at least among our generation, but it's just this guy who keeps figuring out this stuff, and he's doing his job, but he doesn't get the premise of it until the end. But I like suspense movies because, one, I can recommend them to my friends who don't like horror movies, because most of my close friends do not like them. And I'll be like, hey, you can watch this one. It's not going to jump scare you. It's not that bad.
I think it's a nice mixture of, like, classic horror and then, like, maybe, like, mystery or thriller.
Yeah, definitely. Mystery is a good word to put with that. A lot of them usually have that component that drives the story forward, since there isn't this outright fear factor, I guess you could say. But yeah, a lot of my early horror movie watching days were suspense movies. But since I was like 8, I was like, oh, this is so scary. But obviously not anymore. But
the next one we have down is psychological thriller. I think most people understand the general definition of psychological
thriller. Kind of goes along with suspense, but a little more mind-focused.
Yeah, it's definitely trying to trip up. I feel like its intention is to trip up the audience. Mm-hmm. They really, I want to say they really go for that twist, but mm-hmm. I'm not certain. They want you to, it's almost like using confusion as mm-hmm. a weapon of horror, which is...
But if done well, it's not confusion to the point where you have no idea what's going on.
Right.
You're more so just like in question along with the character.
Right. It like trips you up along the way.
Right.
Pulls the rug out from under you. And a lot of movies, I think Psycho could also fall under mm-hmm. this one. But the ones we put down were Shutter Island and Get Out. Shutter Island specifically has this iconic twist.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think we'll. I don't. Let's not spoil.
Let's not get into it.
Watch it. Yeah, but it's.
It's definitely a controversial ending in that mm-hmm. some people think one thing and others think it. And that goes back to that twist, like tripping people up because you don't really have the answers. And so you just keep like rolling it in your head and you still can't like concretely say one thing or the other.
Yeah. Psychological thrillers are just. I don't know. They put your mind in a blender.
They're so fun, though.
They keep your thoughts rolling.
Yeah.
They really have you trying to work out what's going on in the movie. And with horror, I guess, toss horror in, and it's just it almost becomes disturbing how mm-hmm. much you're thinking about it.
Definitely.
We put Get Out in this one as well.
We'll get to that one later, though. I have more comments on why that's in that category.
And then kind of the more classic, what people really think of horror is the slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
And for the slasher film, we discussed it earlier. It's basically just a killer going around and
terrorizing everybody.
Yeah. Great examples of this would be Halloween, appropriately named, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. Basically,
all those like classic 80s.
It is, 80s, 70s. It's that it really, the slasher movies really became popular in the 70s, mm-hmm. and people attribute, I think, either Halloween or Friday the 13th as the Kickstarter to, mm-hmm. or not, excuse me, that Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre as kicking that off, which that should be on this list too. But if you go back and watch them, they're not that scary.
but they're so fun. Like,
they're fun
in that you know they were scary at the time. And I'm like, I saw those also when I was younger, and they were scary to me as an 11-year-old or however old I was. But now they're just like those classic Halloween, like throw them on.
Yeah, it's honestly, we could have a whole discussion about how people are desensitized towards certain things, especially horror nowadays. Because I was watching a review of The Exorcist, not Bolter,
mm-hmm.
The Exorcist, and how people were saying back, I think it came out in the 70s.
It was the scariest movie of all
time.
That's
how they marketed it, and people believed that. When they saw it, people were fainting, getting sick.
My dad still thinks that. He still is like, hey, it's the scariest one, and then I'll show him something from today or whatever, and he can't handle it. I'm like, Dad, it's not The Exorcist anymore.
People kind of a low bar now, mm-hmm. or that's kind of a low bar now, but it's amazing.
Still classic.
Yeah.
Iconic.
It's kind of what people deem as socially acceptable to put on the screen, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe that's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I said, we could have a whole discussion on that.
So the next category we have then is monster, fantasy, or sci-fi, kind of all wrapped in one. And that would just be your classic vampire werewolf movies. We threw in The Thing, which is sci-fi. And then we also put A Quiet Place in from a couple years ago. And again, those are not similar to slasher in that it's like one thing terrorizing people, but it kind of is. Like some monster will show up.
It's like what goes bump in the night.
Right, right. More that like concrete thing to be afraid of, whether that manifests in whatever way. Yeah.
Now, as a child, I found like monster movies just absolutely horrifying because it's like I don't know what it was, but like as a child, I didn't understand what the monster was or like.
Well, it's like there's something under my bed, there's something in my closet.
Yeah, but now I watch them like these. Like I watched The Quiet Place, and it wasn't scary.
It was more like
oh, this is a sci-fi apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm. Still a great movie.
Great movie, but it's like I don't it's weird to call myself an adult, but I'm 21.
Adult.
It's weird, yeah. As a young man, I no longer find monster movies horrifying.
No.
Like even zombie movies, I'm like, oh, that can be unsettling, but it's not horrifying because I think zombie movies would also probably fall under monster
definitely.
Movies. It's strange. I don't know. It's strange. Mm-hmm. Maybe and I know back in the day, a lot of people were horrified. Like, zombie movies are super popular. Like,
I also think that was not the only kind of horror movie to come out, but a lot of these genres hadn't developed yet, at least in the sense that we know them. They were kind of in the works, so it was easy to throw out a werewolf movie. And like you had mentioned a couple minutes ago, what we expect to see on the screen or are allowed to see on the screen has changed.
Yeah.
Whereas like The Exorcist was pushing the boundary when it came out.
Yeah.
But now that's typical
Psycho.
Demon movie.
Psycho was
Psycho.
The, yeah.
They, Psycho
for the first
is
time.
Rated R because of a toilet flushing.
This is real.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
They, like, it's so limited, but at the same time, the time in which it came out, like, that is what you could see. And so I just think what we're allowed to put in films and watch in theaters and whatever has severely changed.
Yeah, it's changed the definition of horror.
Right.
And then now we're going to come up on found footage, which we kind of discussed a little earlier. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's that fake documentary where it really instills fear because it makes the audience believe that the horror is real.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this was more effective when found footage movies first came out. Now they seem kind of like a hokey trick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly this isn't real. Like, everyone kind of rolls their eyes. And it's like, there's often a lot of plot holes. Like, why would these people still be holding on to a camera if this so-called...
It's for the vlog.
Yeah, if this so-called horror is, like, in their lives, if they're running for their lives, why are they still holding on to a camera? So it's a little hard to believe. I think it's less effective now.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And the next one, we did religious themes. And that kind of focuses more on the paranormal and the, like, demonic possessions. We tossed in The Exorcist, The Conjuring, and The Witch. And I think this one, well, why do you think this is so popular?
I think it's easy to do in the sense of, like, I'll use The Conjuring example. I think that paved the way, at least in modern demon movies kind of thing, but also it provides an explanation but also comfort for people who are afraid of that. I think that is a very reasonable thing to be afraid of, especially like for religious people or even non-religious people, like, oh, these demons that their only job or purpose or want is to mess up people's lives and make them difficult, but then at the same time, like, oh, you can turn to religion or some other spiritual form to save the day. Like, I just think it's a very easy thing to pick at that people are afraid of.
Yeah, it's
and
almost,
like, you bring a Ouija board in and everyone freaks out. Like, I think it's very...
People believe in religion already.
Yeah, yeah.
There's already belief, so that it's a realistic fear for most people.
Exactly.
And kind of summing up what you said, it's like, it's kind of a pre-established plot almost, like angels versus demons,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
that's...
It's so rooted in just...
Yeah, it's
humanity with religion going back as far as it does.
It's like we have the equation that we just need to plug in the variables.
Yeah. You know? And I also think with like The Witch, granted that is kind of demonic, we'll get into it later, but like supernatural magic kind of things, I also think there's been a sense of, or like, humans have always been curious in that and like wanting to know more. Is it possible? Is it true? Like,
but it's
can
still,
we do it? But
nowadays,
it still is unknown.
It's still taboo too.
Exactly. And so just, again, throwing that in there is an easy way to get people either interested in it or to get people freaked out because we don't have answers.
Yeah.
So you can easily pick at it.
All right. And the final subgenre that we tossed in here, gore, which we kind of talked about already, which is, it's basically... I think this is...
Scare people by grossing them out.
Yeah. Gross out movies. And I don't... I think this is a... I'm trying to not...
Just say it, Reed.
I don't want to say... I don't want to... It is the...
They're definitely for a certain type of people. Not everyone can watch them. And I also don't think they... are ever going to be like the greatest horror movies of all time.
I think they are the cheapest form of horror movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's easier to gross people out and people distinguish distinguish gore as horror or misdistinguish yeah. almost. It's people are unsettled by blood because that means something's going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you toss in a lot of blood and suddenly it's a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a very easy... You don't see a lot of gory movies. There's a nickname in the industry and people call it like torture porn, where it's like... It's that, like, people...
The Saw movies.
Yeah, like,
people... Maybe not the first one, yeah, but later.
Yeah, it's, like, people getting dismembered and, like, being in pain, like, that's... It's not necessarily horror, but people distinguish that as horror because mm-hmm. that's unsettling. I guess it's
unsettling.
So it's technically horror, but it's easy to do horror.
Right.
It's easily done. There's not a lot of thought put into it. If you ever watch a horror movie, or, excuse me, like, a gory movie, focus on the plot. There usually isn't one there. You won't find it. It's very reliant on that gore.
Yeah.
So I don't care for them
that,
very much.
Like, gory things or, like, people getting hurt definitely have a place in horror movies, especially if you're talking about, like, someone's possessed or there's a slasher killer going around. But I'm not sure that a movie based on just, like, bloodshed in that sense can really stand on its own.
But again, some of
to be fair, I haven't watched that many of them because I know I don't really like the genre.
Yeah. You don't get much out of it.
Exactly.
When I personally watch gory movies, I don't get a lot out of it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Should we go right into what our favorite movies are?
Yes, let's do it. Okay, so Reed and I have each compiled our favorite horror movies. We've kept it to 5.
It was hard.
And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. So I think what we should do is we'll like list our 5 each and then we can go into that. Cause I know we have a lot of similar ones.
Yeah.
So we can go into maybe just the similar ones or whatever and kind of short summary, avoid major spoilers, whatever, and just kind of talk about why we like them.
Okay. So my first one was Hereditary. This is a very recently released movie. For those of you who don't know, it's kind of, it's basically about a family who's going through grief, and it's very unexpected. It's a slow burn, but it's also like the plot kind of keeps you guessing. About 20 minutes into the movie, there's a death that's very unexpected,
and
it changes the entire plot or what you thought the plot was going to be of the movie, mm-hmm. and it still works out. The ending is horrifying. It's so well directed. There's amazing shots. I think it's definitely, I know a lot of like film critics view this movie as like,
it's a pretty gold standard.
Yeah.
It's only a year old and it's already.
People consider it like a instant classic, horror classic.
Yes.
And for good reason, I think it's excellent. Let's see. My second one was It Follows. This one came out, I think 2015, and it's about, basically a curse that's a sexually transmitted disease. It sounds very goofy. But
sounds whack as heck.
Yeah, it's very, the premise seems very goofy, but it's so well done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even consider it. And it's about this, so the sexually transmitted disease in the form of a curse. And when you have sex with someone, the curse is passed on to you and this thing follows you. You don't know what it is, but it just always knows where you are and it follows you slowly.
It's going to try to kill you.
And it tries to kill you if it catches up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can change its appearance into like anyone. And it's horrifying because only the person who has the curse that was passed on to them can see it. No one else can see it. And it's just so, it's so creepy. It's a slow burn, mm-hmm. very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
The director did an excellent job setting up this environment where it's totally believable. It's kind of like this lower income neighborhood and these kids who are trying to, their friend had it passed on to them and they're trying to deal with that curse. Excellent watch. I think it's on Netflix, so mm-hmm. check it out. My third one, and I think this is on Maddie's list too, The Thing, 1984 by John Carpenter. Holy cow, I love this movie.
Iconic.
It's iconic. I wouldn't know. I hesitate to call it scary. Personally, for me, I know it's in the horror genre. It's about a group of scientists in the Antarctic, and they don't unearth, but a creature appears to them after being chased by other scientists. And
it ends up in their dog.
Yeah.
They have multiple dogs.
It's about this creature that can disguise itself as anyone or anything, kind of like it.
Like
it
takes a host kind of thing.
Takes a host. And the group of people stranded, isolated in Antarctica, slowly discovered that this thing is from probably outer space, and it's slowly killing off everyone, and it could be disguised as any of them. I think what's really creepy, it's more creepy than scary, but yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get into those two different definitions. But it's creepy because they're isolated, so they can't go for help because they're in Antarctica, and there's literally nothing around. It's barren. And then also it could be any one of them. So you see these group of people slowly unraveling as like paranoia takes over. And I really love that paranoia aspect in horror movies where like you don't know what's going on. There's no stability of any kind in your situation. And I really enjoy that in a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
My fourth one is The Witch. We kind of touched on it a little bit. I think it's set in what, the 1500s, 1600s? 1603.
1630. Yes.
It's about a family that gets exiled from their I don't know, colony, mm-hmm. and they go off to live in the woods by themselves.
It's in America.
In America.
Yeah.
And again, it deals with isolation and paranoia. Mm-hmm. You can see this trend throughout my list.
And heavy, this one specifically has very heavy religious tones.
Because it's, I think they're like Puritans.
Mm-hmm.
So
Salem witch vibe kind of thing.
And so they're dealing with, right away in the like first 10 minutes of the movie, you see the witch.
Very first thing that happens is their youngest son, who's just like a week old or something, gets taken.
Yeah.
Under the oldest daughter's watch, and then you see the witch right away. You don't know that that's the witch, or you kind of assume.
Yeah.
And then it's just their family dealing with this son's disappearance, trying to figure out how he could have disappeared with there's only four other people there, or however many.
So they start turning on each other. Mm-hmm. They start making accusations. I think, again, beautifully done. It's a slow burn. There's a lot of tension.
It's also not that long, though. It's a slow burn, but it's only an hour and a half.
Yeah, and the last...
interesting.
The climax is just...
kind of whack.
It's very whack. It's great. There's a kind of a twist that happens at the end. I won't spoil it for you guys. You need to go watch it. There's this twist at the end. It has you kind of like, oh my... You're kind of like shaking.
Philip.
Yeah, Black Philip.
Black Philip.
Watch out for goats.
Watch out for Black Philip.
Oop, I spoiled it.
It's 4 years old. It's fine.
Yeah. Still go watch it. And you just, it's so, yeah, the climax is worth that mm-hmm. hour and a half watch.
Yeah.
So please go watch that. My fifth one, I had trouble deciding.
That's a mood.
Because I don't have a lot of movies that like really scare me. And I'm tough, you know, courageous.
He's a young adult.
I'm a young adult, everyone. I'm a young man. But I recently saw one in theaters I think last week. It was called The Lighthouse. And it's by the same director as The Witch. Brand new. It only stars two people. That'd be Robert Pattinson and William Dafoe. And it's about these two lighthouse keepers who are, again, stranded. So you can see where, like, isolation
is a big...
You have
a very good isolation vibe going on here.
Yeah, I fear isolation. There you go. There's my biggest fear. And
make a movie just about that, just to scare Reed.
Just about that.
The secret's out.
And this movie is just a hard psychological thriller. You don't know what's real and what's not. And you see these two lighthouse keepers due to isolation slowly start to lose their minds.
Nice.
And maybe not lose their minds. Maybe there is something mystical in play. You don't really know. It's not for the faint of heart. And it's very complex, very layered. So it's not for everyone. But if you're interested in that deep dive into movies, I would suggest going and seeing that.
Nice. I have not watched it, so
I would suggest
you
go and see it.
Like, trailer for it, so I will have to do that.
It's very fascinating.
All right, so my top five, also very difficult to figure out. I'm going to go from the bottom to the top. So five, I technically had two. One of them was The Thing, but Reed already talked about that, so I'll talk about the other one, which is Nightmare on Elm Street. This was one of the first horror movies I ever remember watching. And again, when I was younger, it was really scary. But something about it still, like, gets me going every time I watch it. It's just, and part of it is I have always had really weird, vivid dreams. And so the fact that this, like, takes place in dreams.
You can relate to it.
I can relate to it. It freaks me out. And Freddy Krueger is iconic. Oh, my gosh. So good. And, like, it has a good story behind it. And the scares are good, so
young Johnny Depp, too.
Young Johnny Depp gets yeeted into that bed.
Yes,
like,
he does.
Absolutely just destroyed, but it's great. So, yeah, that's number five. Number four, I had Halloween, another classic slasher. Just, again,
this
it's
is
so
an amazing
good.
Movie. Actually, I literally had a dream about this movie last night.
No way.
I did. I kid you not. And it is a great movie.
It's so good. A lot of my top five are nostalgia based for me and like how they've just been in my childhood and that sort of thing, but Halloween is the perfect suspense but also slasher mood movie. Like, you watch it and it's Halloween. It's so good.
It is so atmospheric. It's beautifully done.
Yeah.
I love it. I have yet to see the new one. Have you seen the newest one?
I have not. No. I heard it was actually okay.
Yeah, me too. So I'm kind of curious to
right.
go and watch it.
But
excellent pick though.
So good. My third is Get Out, which we mentioned earlier, but I went to see this in theaters with my friends, and I thought we were seeing something else, and then we stroll into this movie, and I was just so shook. My mind was blown. It was so good, and again, it's only a couple years old, but I think I've watched it 100 times already.
It's so
But
good.
It's the perfect mix of comedy and suspense and mind bending, whatever the heck is going on.
I would, if I may cut in real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I would almost cite this movie as being like, it kind of brought well written, well directed horror movies to the main stage.
Absolutely.
Like, people are actually, I feel nowadays, are putting a little more effort into horror movies. It's been, this movie made critics and filmgoers take horror movies a little more seriously. There
people
can
are paying
be,
attention more.
Yeah, there can mm-hmm. be messages, there can be layers to horror movies, and mm-hmm. I think Jordan Peele, the director of Get Out, did an excellent job with that,
yeah.
and he continued doing that with Us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think a lot of directors on our list, both you and mm-hmm. I's list, are recent directors,
mm-hmm.
Minus like John Carpenter,
right?
Are recent directors, and they push towards having these deeper messages, deeper, just stronger plots,
yeah,
in these movies. And I think Get Out for bringing that pop.
I would agree.
And into the yeah,
there's more expectation
the
now out of horror movies. There's a new
well
like
said, yes.
There's a new wave of horror,
yeah.
and it demands good writing, yep. essentially.
Oh,
and
yes.
like the thing with Get Out and then also Us, they're so, like you said, heavily layered in metaphor and satire, and mm-hmm. every time you go back to them, you notice something different, and whether that relates to the twist of both movies or to this metaphor, I don't know, also the thing I like is they're oddly realistic.
Yeah.
My favorite horror movies are ones that you can relate to and can be like,
yep.
I could see that kind of happening. And
that's why I relate to The Witch.
Oh, yes. 1630s.
Yeah. But
Reed
no, I know
is
what
taken
you mean.
Off. Pilgrimage to
well,
the West.
Yeah, it's but a,
no,
that's
I,
a different. It's, I totally agree. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I joked
no,
about that. But
good.
that is a different, you know, I.
Hey, a goat could attack you, Reed.
A goat could. No, my fears are based in like isolation. So
yeah.
That is reflected in my movies. But
no,
it's totally like if a movie is able to relate to you, feel it more.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that goes back to our slow burn discussion when we talked about how if you're connected to a character and something happens to that character, you feel it.
Absolutely.
So I think because when, you know, movies are related to the times, you understand the times, and so that's reflected in the
mm-hmm.
movie. I totally agree.
Yeah. I'm going to do an impromptu flip of my number one and two. So my number two is The Conjuring by James Wan. We've mentioned it a couple times already. Came out in 2013.
That clap gets me.
Ooh, the clap, again, iconic. I remember watching the trailer for the first time and freaking out because of the clap right behind her. Oh, so good. And I think, again, like, there's this whole, like, Conjuring universe now. All of it, hot take, is garbage, except for The Conjuring.
And that's
James
I think
Wan,
that was only James Wan, right? I think he might have done
the second
one.
I think he directed
one.
The second Conjuring, which is decent compared to the other universe movies. But there's something about The Conjuring that every time I watch it, not that it scares me, but it gets me. Like, I'm so invested every time.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's such a good mix of, like, jump scares and suspense and this demonic, like, fear and...
The director
the
knows what
basis
he's
in
doing.
History.
Yeah.
Right, and it's directed well. For its time, it had some good, innovative, like, camera work and just ways to scare people. I don't know. I just really like that movie, and it's so good. And I kind of hope James Wan jumps onto a new scary movie because he did the first Saw. He did the first Insidious.
I didn't know he did the first Saw. The first Saw is actually good.
The first Saw is actually pretty decent.
Yeah,
good story.
Yeah, that's a great story.
He did the first Insidious with the guy in Saw who plays the photographer helped write Insidious.
Really?
Just fun fact for
interesting.
You.
Interesting.
Yeah, Lee Whannell. But anyways, and then he did The Conjuring, and I know he's done a couple things since then that are
not in the
horror genre, but I want to see him get back into that because he's one of my favorites. Okay, and my number one, similar to Reed, would be Hereditary, but with the caveat that I also really like Midsommar, so my number one is just going to be Ari Aster because...
Ari Aster...
He's so good.
He's a modern directing gem.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you ever think there'd be a horror movie set strictly in sunlight? Only in sunlight.
I adore that movie. It's so good. So I saw it in theaters when it came out, and then I just rewatched it this past weekend for the first time.
Sorry, we're talking about Midsommar, not
Midsommar,
Hereditary.
Midsommar, yeah, now. Sorry. Reed talked about Hereditary, which, I could go on for hours
Beautiful movie.
But I'm going to talk about Midsommar.
Let's talk about Midsommar for a second. I love this movie, too.
Ugh, I watched it for the first time since theaters just this weekend, and the first time I saw it, I really liked it, but I was like, it was kind of weird. I think I liked Hereditary better. Now, I don't know which one I like better because Midsommar was so much better the second time around because the things that are shocking the first time, you can see in the context of the story the second time. And the reason I like both these movies so much is obviously they're scary, but they're so rooted in humanity and real humanity, meaning that on the surface, Hereditary might be a demon movie or Midsommar might just be a creepy cult movie. But the more you get into it, the more you realize these stories are about these characters going through grief and trauma and like real things, like you said, that we can relate to.
Those are the main messages of the
exactly,
movie.
Exactly, exactly.
It's just kind of gift wrapped in this horror genre, this demon. There's been thousands of movies about it, a demon or a cult.
Exactly,
but
exactly.
No, Hereditary hits home because it is about grief.
It's about a family going through it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Midsommar, excellent, excellent movie.
Yeah.
Beautifully, visuals are awesome in that movie. But
I would say both. They're very different, but they each have their own aesthetic that they stick to.
Yes.
And it's just, and his cinematography and writing obviously are great.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's up and coming, and I'm happy for him. Mm-hmm. Real quick about Midsommar, I still think this is absolutely fascinating. It's so amazing. This is a breakup movie.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
a
breakup movie.
It is a breakup movie.
The director literally wrote it as a breakup movie. Mm-hmm. And then I think some studio wanted him to make another horror movie. And he's like, I'll make that movie as long as I can do my breakup movie with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he mixed those two. So virtually, it is a breakup movie just dressed up as a horror movie.
Yeah.
And it's so, once you get past certain aspects, the horror aspects of the movie, you realize, like, oh, this is about the main character going through a rough breakup.
Well, really, it's her going through some other trauma that happens.
Trauma,
that we won't explain. And then the degeneration of this relationship that should have broken up years ago.
And I got to say, that relationship the non-Swede characters in that movie. By the way, it's about a Swedish cult and about Americans going to a Swedish
cult. It's like four Americans with their Swedish friend. They're all in grad school and they're anthropology students. So they go to study their Swedish friend's Swedish festival called Midsommar, which is a historical thing that is probably blown out of proportion for this movie.
Oh, definitely.
But still, it's them going to this new culture and kind of getting welcome with open arms and that sort of thing, and how it's different than what they're used to.
Right. I forgot what I was
saying. Okay, since you forgot, I'm just going to keep going here.
Yeah.
The idea, I love the fact that these American students come into this culture and they're like, oh, this is so weird. But the more you watch this movie and think about that little village and their culture, it's not that weird. It's so cool, I think, because it's all centered around this, like, common feeling and like sense of community.
Yeah,
and for the main girl
yes.
in the movie, that's what she needs. And so she like
she's been,
finds herself kind of thing.
Again, it's kind of the isolation
thing. They're isolated this girl, in this culture. She's isolated from her boyfriend, from her friends, from her family.
She's socially isolated in her old life mm-hmm. and continues. The first scene, it's her trying to get in contact with her family after she realizes that something's horribly going wrong. And mm-hmm. she's hitting up all these different like messaging sites. She's calling. She's going there in person. And she can't get a hold of them. And mm-hmm. it's just a perfect analogy of just her character. Is like she's so out of touch with – no, she's not out of touch. She's so isolated from everyone mm-hmm. around her and her boyfriend specifically. Like I remember what I was going to say. This is the most accurate I've ever seen a relationship in a movie.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's a good relationship.
At least a toxic relationship.
It's a toxic
yeah.
relationship done so well.
Yeah.
And I was amazed by, I'm like, that is, I know so many people who are mm-hmm. like, have been in these types of relationships. Mm-hmm. It's just so well done. I love it. I love it.
Well, you guys, it's Halloween. And so I'm going to at least go watch two of these, of these movies.
Yeah.
You have to. But that, I do have to say, a lot of these, what we've mentioned, are not specific Halloween movies. They are just horror movies, unless you're Halloween, but you can watch it any time. But
yeah.
That's what I love about it, is you can watch them at any time. They come into theaters at any time. It is, though, just nice to have a little spooky movie session in the time of the season.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I've been Reed.
I'm Maddie.
And this has been The Medium. Everyone have a great day and a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.